Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today we have two guests in studio, which is unusual. We have Greg Norris. Greg is the Vice President of T&G Auctions, where he buys properties and resells them. Greg, welcome.
Thank you.
And Craig Hill, he's been in charge of talking to everybody that wants to borrow the money at the Norris Group, and been with us the entire time, 15 years, and one of the prime reasons I even bought a building in the beginning. So welcome, Craig.
Thank you.
I guess we ought to talk about the year in review. What surprised you in 2010? Was there anything that you just didn't think was going to happen that looked like it started emerging and changing it?
On my side, I think really just the first part of the year, extremely busy, which wasn't necessarily a surprise. But once the general public or a lot of other investors started to say there was really not much inventory available for investors, I think the biggest surprise for me was just the fact that we actually probably were busier the last 6 months of the year. So it just tells me that, boy, there's just a lot of opportunities out there for investors.
I think that did surprise me that we had the busiest year we've ever had, and the inventory has got to be down 75% for the REO buyer.
Exactly.
And so that was a surprise. Let's talk about the transformation that the hard money loan business has made, because when I first met you, it was a very different loan business that you were involved in.
Yeah, exactly. When we first met, I mean, a lot of hard money, taking it way back, was just doing seconds for people that were owner-occupants, had trouble paying their bills, and they needed a small loan maybe to, you know, to get them through. And it's really morphed into what we have now. It's a combination of things. We do short-term loans for investors that buy and fix up and sell properties. And then even the second leg of that, we're actually starting to do a lot of long-term loans for investors that are holding rental properties. And I think that opportunity has been given to us because the banks just don't want to lend that type of money to investors. And it actually works out very well for us.
And I think it works out well for the investor, too, because
absolutely,
there's going to be – there'll definitely be an attitude toward lending to investors from a standard a conventional lender in the condition or in the amount that they'll be able to get.
Absolutely.
So they kind of quit making common sense loans, which is kind of a forte and a niche.
Exactly. And for the property owner, who would have thought that they could have a property in California with a loan from a hard money company, if you will, at 9.9%, and it's cash flowing beautifully. I mean, the payment is probably half of what the rent is. So it's a great situation for the investor also.
Greg, when you first joined the company, we were struggling to figure out what to do with 93 houses. So you came and solved that for us. And the transition went from that to basically buying REOs and then to trustee sales. So what's the transition been like? What type of inventory have you found you've been dealing with the trustee sales that probably you didn't in the REO purchases?
Primarily probably in better areas, newer homes, smaller rehabs, actually. In a lot of ways, trustee sales has made our job simpler. The REOs a lot of times are – some of the best deals are typically on heavier homes with heavier rehabs.
Mm-hmm.
So the discounts are far smaller at trustee sales than REOs. Out of necessity and the competition, the trustee sales truly are incredibly much more competitive than REOs and the discounts on REOs.
How many people in a typical day at Riverside, at the bigger places, would there be? How many people would be there with the cashier's checks willing and able to bid?
It really varies depending on the volume and what's coming through, but probably the biggest I ever saw got probably 50 to 70 people that are all there at that time. But out of that amount, there's probably really only 8 to 10 really big players that are capable of taking down, you know, 10 to 20 properties a month. There's only a select group.
the people that are the smaller buyers, are they more easily discouraged just because of the nature of this business has changed a lot? Trustee sale business 10 years ago, it wasn't a drop bid situation. People were chasing a list. People had equity. Everyone knew it for a long period of time. This is a very different game now. A one-person shop, I would think, would have a very tough time competing at this point.
Yes and no. I'd say that with a one-person shop, fortunately, a lot of times, most of these people out there, they're using their own money, so they don't have, you know, any type of investor that they're trying to repay. Mm-hmm. They do a much smaller volume, and, you know, honestly, you can't compete with those people. I mean, they might even, part of their profit scenario might actually be doing their own rehabs. They probably only buy 4 to 5 a year, and, you know, it's pretty hard to compete with that type of mentality, where they're, some of them, just because it is so difficult and they only have limited research capabilities, they will be at the steps and they'll buy things routinely for $15,000 to $20,000 over what I would be willing to pay for it. You kind of just have to wait for those guys to run out of money and enough deals fall through the cracks. But there are plenty of buyers who buy at that level.
And I would imagine just that maybe their geographical area is tighter just because of the nature of their ability to do research or being able to physically see a property.
Typically, that's true.
Okay. Give me an idea of what you do in every day now. I mean, as far as you get up in the morning, and what percentage of that list do you know is going to go to sale, and what percentage do you get surprised by a drop bid, let's say, before the sales day is done?
Well, again, it really varies. It depends on the volume that the banks are pushing through. Toward the ends of this year, it has lessened significantly. Margins got tighter. But my typical day, you kind of asked a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
My typical day probably begins off with doing the research on anything that I find, first of all, has an open bid that we're interested in. And then I do other research on other properties that I think might potentially have a dropped open bid. Then we have to attend the sales by 9 o'clock in the morning, so I really have a very limited time to do appraisals and title research in the morning. I have to attend the sales, and then I come back to the office, and I'm usually dealing with real estate contracts and repair contracts. And the end of the day is, again, preparing for sales the following day. So that's the normal flow of my day.
Okay. Craig, how would you classify the our client base as far as experience level? You know, I think that's one of the unique things that we have.
Yeah, I think it's unmatched probably in the industry, the experience level. And I'm constantly reminded of that just because of the volume of calls that we get with people that aren't experienced. So it really makes me appreciate just how experienced our group of buyers are and how well prepared they are to do the business.
And the calls are coming from which sources? Because, I mean, how much of your day is spent cold calling?
Yeah, well, that, as you know, the cold calling wouldn't be my favorite thing to do. So literally the phone, you can't say it rings all day long, but it rings throughout the day constantly. And there's probably, there's a lot of calls that come from just internet access that people see us on the internet. There's just a large group of people that see us through referrals from existing clients. And then just all the speaking that you've done over the years, it's just amazing how many people call and have heard you speak, or they've heard you speak, they've seen us on the internet, and then it even ties in. They know somebody that's using us. So it's almost like a whirlwind of activity out there for us, and I think we have a lot of respect because we've always been Southern California only. We've been doing this a long time. And I just think over the years, it's kind of snowballed, and it seems like people find a large variety of ways to really get to us.
One of the, I guess, one of the more, I don't know, but rewarding is the word, referrals would be the kind of person that has heard of us from different directions multiple times before you get a call. So it's sort of like I keep on hearing your name. So finally, okay, what is it that you guys do is the phone call?
Absolutely. And probably maybe even one of the most rewarding is the phone call that gets referred from somebody out in the field actually making an offer, maybe has a credit letter from another company, and the agent will say, if you can get a pre-approval letter from the Norris Group, I'll go ahead and accept the offer. I don't think there's any call that speaks more than that call, because that's somebody saying that the relationship over time means that if you have a letter from the Norris Group, we feel pretty comfortable that if this deal is closable, you're going to close it.
Yeah.
So I don't think a call can really speak any more than that.
Anything surprise you in 2010? And we might have already covered that.
We did cover that, but I'll throw in another surprise.
Okay.
I think the surprise is not a real surprise, but we've really picked up the volume on the long-term financing. And there's just a huge demand for that. And I think the surprise, maybe moving ahead then, the surprise in 2011, I think, might be the volume that we're able to do with the long-term program.
I think that probably is going to have a chance to perform at a very high level, because I do think there'll be some more inventory, whether it's excessive or not. But I think it's not going to land as often with an owner-occupant as it will with an investor.
Exactly. And it ties into one of Greg's points. A lot of the properties that are the rehabs and the lower-priced properties, those are now not turning into flips. They're turning into buy and holds. So I think it makes some of the, you know, say retail prices between 100 and 150. I think it's very challenging now for an investor to buy that house and flip it successfully, because you have so many investors that are willing to buy it and hold it. And I think an investor that will buy and hold it, he can pay more, because his payoff is, you know, he's got a property that's cash flowing and he's looking, you know, 5 to 10 years down the road. So I think the level of smaller retail deals that we do for flips is going down, but a large portion of those are turning into long-term loans.
There probably is going to be a reemergence of the 203K FHA loan program. I would imagine that's going to come in the summer.
Yes.
And the problem with that, and then this is what I want your opinion on, is that it probably takes 45 days to fund that thing.
Right, right. So that is a hard sell when you can close it much quicker.
On a purchase vehicle, that's a tough one for the REO agent
absolutely.
To cope with, too.
Absolutely, because as over the transition over the last 2 years, as the markets, you know, become very active again, I mean, we've went from 30 days funding to 21 days funding to, you know, 14 days in a lot of cases. And I mean, in some cases, we do a deal in seven days or less if we have all the information. And that just seems to be a huge mental factor. Even if it isn't accurate, you know, like a lot of times going in, they say, here's what we're going to do. And due to delays here or there, the deal doesn't close quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if the first thing they hear is it's going to take a long time and I'm getting a loan, I think that eliminates a lot of people right off the bat.
Of what importance has been, let's say, our website, where people can go and sort of see the Q&A or hear or watch a video, et cetera?
Yeah, the automation of our website has been fantastic, because, one, it allows me just to mainly handle calls, which is good. And then it's completely automated our loan process. And I think the amazing thing that's happened is I would say our loan business might have even doubled over the last 12 months. And it's doubled in volume while the time to fund has gone down.
Yeah.
And that's really a lot of credit to the website and the staff and everybody else, because that's probably the surprise of 2010, is that we could do twice as much volume in less time.
That is.
That's the surprise for 2010.
That's been a good accomplishment. I knew if I asked that question often enough,
there you
come out with more
answers. A good answer.
Greg, in the trustee sale business, one of the big challenges is that you will probably be making an offer on a property you're not going to see inside. What percentage of the time you actually get inside of these houses?
Very low. Probably 5 to 10%, maybe.
And what percentage would be vacant? Just the same percentage?
I would guess probably 10 to 15,
okay.
Probably.
Most of the time they're occupied, though.
Most of the time they're occupied.
So what... Now, this is something that you used to do, but you've delegated that now. So what is the... What's the day like for Joe and Kenneth, as far as are they door knocking these houses and trying to talk to people?
Absolutely. They have to go to every house, you know, evaluate the repairs, try to talk to the owners to find out if we are dealing with a difficult customer or not. That's their flow of their day. They're primarily seeing houses all day long, and when they're not seeing houses, they're doing construction contracts, and that's pretty much what their day is like at this point.
How do you guess what something's going to cost a rehab when you can't see inside?
A lot of experience. A lot of experience. You know, some of it gets really repetitive. Some of it we guess based on the age of the home. You know, a house built in the 80s, you're probably going to figure is going to need more cabinets, etc., things like that, than a house built in the 1990s or 2000s. So based on the age of the home and just what we're seeing there, it's relatively accurate. And you will learn a lot more about that if you come to one of our boot camps.
Oh, there's a plug.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Actually, I think that's real important for people to see. I learned that way myself. I learned by seeing things. It's something that's – it's one thing to sit in a class and listen to it, to visualize it and see the rehabs and stuff. What's a basic reaction from the realtor world with our finished product?
They're pleased on many levels. For one, they have a house that is in very good condition with very little to complain about. You know, our property inspections are usually relatively minor fixes that need to be done. On another level, they're very pleased because we actually have a standard sale, not an REO or a short sale, which they really get tired of wasting their time on both of those. We're easy to deal with as long as they do their job. Let me put that caveat in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the primary points that a realtor really likes doing business with them.
What's been pretty cool, one time I spoke at one of the realtor groups, and one of the agents stood up in the middle of it and said, "We wish the Norris Group would buy every REO in town because of how they deal with the properties and how it comes out." So how hard is it to get the construction end of it to be, you know, to do a good job? Because that, to me, that was one of the most frustrating things as I did the business, is the reliability of the contractor is tough.
You know, I think that over time we've really perfected that, I think, and as our relationships grow and as the contractors that work for us, they feel stable in the amount of volume of work that we can give to them, we get more of their attention. So it's hard to repeat what we've created, I think. It's not an easy thing to do, but I think that over time, if you develop the relationships and you keep your rehabs consistent and everyone kind of is on the same page as the product that you're looking for, it becomes easier over time.
Yeah, I mean, in Dale, for instance, you have somebody that you trust and that he could be in the field and make a decision that you know is going to be what you would want to have done.
Exactly. They start reading your mind, and they'll start suggesting to you what they think that you'd want based on previous jobs and how you've directed them in the past. So that helps a lot.
So it just takes a while to build that kind of a team, and it's not just the construction side. It's also, okay, what lender, what escrow. There, all those little pieces of a team start making a big difference in what percentage of your properties end up closing.
Absolutely. Escrow's a big deal. Lender's probably even a bigger deal. All of those people will help you get to the finish line faster, and if you're not going to get to the finish line, you'll get notified sooner so you don't waste, you know, precious time on market not knowing for 45 days that you're not going to close no matter what happens because the lender's lying to you left and right, and the buyer's lying to them on top of it. So.
And no one wants it to fall out because then there's still a hope a check might actually emerge.
Exactly.
The only trouble is the only bills that have to get paid are on our side. No one else has a cost. So that's
primarily. Yeah. Right. We try to avoid that in some ways by our counter offers. We try to make sure at this point that they're spending money and that they do have skin in the game very quickly, so I know whether or not I have a serious buyer on the other side. That has helped.
At this point, when you're dealing with the trustee sale purchases, what percentage of the buyers would you say were conventional versus FHA?
You know, that really changes. I've learned in the short time I've been doing the trustee sale business, when we were first doing it, a very high percentage was all cash and conventional. As the markets, I think that a lot of people got fooled into feeling like they had to buy now because of the government incentive. I think if they would have figured out they could have waited 6 months, they would have gotten more than their $10,000 back because the market adjusted down.
Right.
So it's changed. Right now I'm seeing a lot more VA and FHA offers and very few conventional offers, but we're still closing equally as well.
What percentage do you think fall out?
At this point, very few, probably 1 out of 10
yeah.
that fall out. I mean, it might even be better than that. And it seems like it comes in waves. That's a good average, but the last month for us is we've had several fall out, and probably the 6 months prior to that, maybe none. I mean, it really changed drastically. We've done such a good job of weeding out the people that we go to escrow with to begin with that we've had a lot less troubles once we get to escrow.
I think that's probably one of the biggest things that you've done is making it harder to go into escrow, and where people really have to step up to the plate and do some tasks before they feel like they're buying a home.
Right.
Yeah. Craig, one of the things that's gone on and always happens during a year or two is there's a transition as to where the deals are coming from. So REO business in 2009 and then 2010, there starts to be a kind of a mix that's changed.
Yeah, I would say 2009 was, for us, was probably almost exclusively REO business. Then as we got further into 2010, we got a few more trustee sale buyer refis. So people that, like Greg, that were going to the sales and then they'd refi just to leverage the property a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 6 months, I've noticed an increase in people that are actually buying short sales. And just from talking to them, it seems like the process for them, at least the ones that are very skilled at it, seems to be speeding up. So, you know, it's no longer a half year or year long process, but some of them seem to be completed in 60 days or less. And that would be the most recent trend, that there's just a few more short sale offers accepted. But still, the bulk of the business is REOs. And I think a lot of that is relationship driven, where our clients have been doing this for quite a while and they've developed relationships. So maybe they don't get the first offer accepted, but a property may go into escrow once, twice, three times, and then they get a call from an agent saying, hey, I have this property and I have to get rid of it. And I think that's why we stay busy, because a lot of our clients do have those relationships.
And I think the short sale agent has got to be a repetitive agent as well. So you're not going to have an occasional REO listing if you're a normal listing agent. And I don't think you're going to chase a short sale listing unless you make it your main business. So I think there's a chance for repetitive buys from the same agents as they get comfortable with the REO buyer transitioning some of their efforts to short sales. It would make sense those relationships would have legs too.
Oh, absolutely. I had a recent client where that is exactly the case, where there are a lot of repetitive patterns, same people in process, just different properties.
Right.
So I do think, depending on how they handle it from the bank side, I do think that's an area of large potential for our clients is buying more short sales.
And the margins haven't been too skinny on some of those as well. You said some of them were the best deals that you've seen.
Yeah, the one client that I was thinking of, actually, I would say their margin has been the greatest of any deals that I've seen, which really surprises me. And they would fall more along the lines of a trustee sale type buy, because they're not properties that need huge rehabs either.
Right. They're still occupied by a friendly person in a way.
Exactly. So they're getting what I would almost consider an REO-type discount on a property that needs very little work. So I think for the person that puts the right method in place could have a lot of success in that market.
Yeah, I think the nice thing about a short sale is you're also seeing the inside of the property. You get title insurance,
right,
like an REO, and it may be not in the rough condition. So it's sort of a hybrid of best of both worlds. Product type is superior, and not the hassle of a vacant house and a pig in a poke wondering what it's going to cost to rehab.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we could increase that business, I think all the way around it would be beneficial, because it's a very clean product, as you mentioned, good margins, and can have the potential of being very repetitive.
All right. Well, we've ended our time for right now. We'll join join Craig and Greg in the next section. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.